Hi, I'm Jane Cravens, and what follows this introduction is the audio from a presentation I did back in January 2014 for a group called Oc Tribe, that's Online Community Tribe, a monthly in-person meeting in San Francisco that was also live streamed on YouTube. It was a meetup for online community managers, enthusiasts, and innovators interested in social networking applications, social media, and online group collaboration. And a quote that's used to describe it is, "We discuss tools and strategies to enhance participation in the various online communities we support." My presentation is Online Community Management as Volunteer Management. I look at participants in an online community as volunteers. They aren't paid to participate, usually. They aren't paid to contribute, and yet they do. I think cultivating new community members is a lot like cultivating new volunteers. I think supporting and keeping community managers is a lot like cultivating new volunteers, and so on. I hope you enjoy this audio. I think it's easy to understand even without seeing the slides that I was using for the presentation. Those are mostly for me and my prompts anyway. And if you hear an audience question and you think, I didn't really understand that, I usually repeat the questions and the comments from the audience in this presentation. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you find it helpful. And thank you so much for listening.
And with that, I am so happy to bring into the room the first community member of TechSoup. When I launched the TechSoup forums back in 2001, I pretended to be 8 different people talking to each other, and it was really difficult. And then I decided to go into other technology nonprofit communities and find people who were smart and get them into our community. So I did it using Outlook, and I sorted by who. I signed up for like 20 listservs that were appropriate, and I did a who sort, and this name kept coming up, and it was Jane Cravens. And so I thought, maybe I should introduce myself to Jane Cravens. And so here we are. She started as a volunteer with us. Since then, she is a nonprofit technology community consultant. She's a volunteer manager. She's worked for the UN. She's worked for us. She is working for us right now, managing the TechSoup forums. She's worked for Impact Online, which is now Volunteer Match, which Sherry is the community manager of. She worked for the University of Texas. She's writing a book. She is the leading world's expert on online volunteering. So you guys are in for a big treat. And her Twitter handle is jcravens42. So give it up for Jane Cravens. Oh, and I only met her once in the 13 years that I've been working with her in person.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Since we don't work face-to-face, you think it would be kind of awkward, but it's not at all. I feel like I talk to you every day. I mean, it's not awkward at all. So yes, I'm Jane Cravens. I've somehow finagled my way into becoming this expert in virtual volunteering, which I still don't know how that happened. And Susan asked me to present tonight on a pretty interesting subject, which is, you know, there's all of this great learning about volunteer management. There's all this great best practices. There's all these learnings. And I apply those when I manage an online community, because to me, community members are volunteers. And not everybody sees them that way, but that's always how I've managed online communities. And I've managed a lot of online communities. I'm not even going to go there. I'll say this, the first online community I managed was SOS Org nonprofit on Usenet. So been doing this a while, and I've always approached it from a volunteer management perspective. And so Susan said, why don't you do a presentation on how you do that? And you guys can take what you want. You can totally reject my ideas tonight. I really am not sensitive to that. So I thought it was a great topic. So I've never quite presented this way before. As she said, you know, she told you a little bit about me, and I think it's really important for a speaker to justify why they're up here. So this is my justification, is that I actually read and research constantly about community management and online volunteering. I'm always doing that. I'm always looking for new ideas. And I also really try to practice outreach. So I won't tell you anything tonight that I haven't tried. and maybe failed at. So that's a little justification. And I have a modus operandi when I present. Because I was at a presentation once, and I got up to present on virtual volunteering, and someone raised their hand, and they said, is this what this is going to be about? Because if this is what this is going to be about, I don't want to be here. And I had no idea how to answer the question. So I decided maybe I need to just do a little modus operandi to talk about how things are going to work tonight. First of all, don't consider that a stupid question, just a confusing one. And I won't laugh at you if you ask a question. I'll just laugh later, but not here. I welcome your questions. I think all of you have knowledge worth sharing, so please don't leave me up here speaking the whole time. I'd really like to hear from you, too. Probably goes without saying, I'm not offering a blueprint, and your mileage may vary. I would really like to unpack jargon, so if you say something tonight, I may ask you what that means. I may know what it means. I probably don't. I just would like for you to explain the jargon so that maybe everybody can understand what you're saying. And I hate to say this, but I don't have all the answers. I know, maybe I should leave now. Maybe I should leave right now. So how I define volunteers. I've got all this text here, but it's pretty much anybody that's contributing to your organization that you're not paying. And that could even mean someone else is paying them. That could mean an employee on loan. A corporation could provide you with an executive on loan once a week. You're not paying them. Someone is. I would put that person under volunteering. You don't have to. And that's what I want to stress tonight. I'm going to talk about volunteers from this perspective, committee members, pro bono consultants, and people that contribute to your online community. And I hereby give you permission to reject everything I say. That's just me. Volunteer is a loaded term. Some people don't like to be called volunteer. I come up with something else. That's fine. So why involve volunteers? This is a big deal with me. This is a very big deal with me. Any presentation I do, I talk about why to involve volunteers. And what you won't see up here, and you don't have to read this now, is they save money. Because volunteer time is worth $14.13 according to the independent sector. Because what that does is, for instance, unions will say that we are against volunteer involvement, that we don't like volunteers. And actually, the International Association of Volunteer Fire or Professional Firefighters has come out against volunteer engagement because of statements like that. So there are better reasons to involve volunteers, because sometimes volunteers are the best people for the task. They come from a different perspective, not a financial perspective. They might speak a little more openly. And if you go through all the reasons about why you involve volunteers, a lot of times they're the reasons you have an online community. Because you want feedback from a variety of people, because you want to create a way for people to be involved in your organization, and maybe this is the only way they could be involved. So all those reasons to involve volunteers can often be the same reasons you've started an online community. There's a big change happening right now in volunteer engagement, and I think it's affecting community engagement as well, online community engagement, and that is that it used to be find tasks for volunteers to do. Look for things for volunteers to do. And it's changing now, and now it's reserve certain assignments specifically for volunteers. Actually reserve things for volunteers and say, you know, we're not going to have paid staff do that. We want volunteers to do that task specifically. And think about your community membership. You know, that's just what you've done. You've decided your community with the best contributors would be people you're not paying in many cases to contribute. You are in some cases, but that's really a reflection of this trend that's happening. So keep that in mind. So there's multiple ways to volunteer with an online community. There's the basic, you know, somebody asks a question, somebody answers it. Do you think when somebody joins your community, they're a volunteer? What are your feelings about that? Just by joining, are you a volunteer, do you think? I'm just asking, I don't have an answer. You say no? Does anybody say yes? If I'm reading every post but not responding, am I participating?
No.
You say no?
I'm right.
And Susan's right. And I say it depends, because I've met a lot of people in online communities who never ever contribute online, and then I find out they did a presentation regarding what they saw in an online community. So it's fuzzy. But there's lots of ways that volunteers contribute to online forums, whatever. Sometimes they just participate in asking and answering questions. They may have long-term commitments. They may actually provide your IT support. They may moderate. They may do one event. They may manage one event. Long-term commitments, short-term commitments. Have you ever thought about your online community that way, is that these are volunteers with different roles? It's an interesting process to try to do. It may make you end up valuing them a little bit differently. But notice there's no one way to be a volunteer. Oh, a volunteer is somebody who contributes 20 hours. No, it could be somebody that contributes half an hour a month. It's not the time, it's just the fact that they contributed something and you didn't pay them. So this might be controversial, but I feel very strongly about this. Put volunteering roles in writing, even if it's just for you. So if you need a moderator, put it in writing exactly what you mean by a volunteer moderator, or a forum host, or a subject matter expert. Put it in writing, even if you don't post it somewhere, even if it's not a contract. It keeps it clear for you what the volunteer responsibilities are. And actually, I used to work, well, I didn't, I inherited it, on the TechSoup forum. You'll see that if you click on volunteer, you'll see our stars and our royal court. And it says very specifically what they are required to do to be that type of volunteer. So put it in writing. I believe very strongly that volunteering roles, even in an online community, should have a start and end date. And when I say an end date, a person can re-up. But I believe very strongly in giving somebody an end date. Why do I do that?
It's a nice way to cut the band-aids. Volunteers who have compassion for neighbors may not contribute.
Can you speak up a little bit? The mic sucks.
It's a good way to. It's a good way to remove volunteers who have passion but don't actually contribute in that space.
Okay.
So there's another angle that gives the volunteer an easy way out if they feel like they've overcommitted themselves and don't want to be stuck for life.
This is just a guess, but I think maybe it could be a call to action too, in a way, because if you have only a given period of time, you want to get some things done.
You're all right, everything that you said. And again, just because you give something an end date doesn't mean the person has to end them. They could re-up for 3 more months, for 6 more months. At TechSoup, they had open-ended volunteering commitment by the moderators, and my big suggestion was, why don't we have people re-up? And I think it's been really nice. A time of renewal has been sometimes an opportunity for people to go, you know, I've been thinking about this a while, and I just got my contract, and I've decided, you know what, I wanted to share with you this. So it's been really nice. It's if I do say so myself, it was a good idea. Preferred time frame, do you need your work done during a certain part of day? Can they do it at 3 a.m., 10 hours a month, whatever? You need a sign-off from the volunteer saying, yes, I will do this. I cannot believe how many people they give the assignment to the volunteer and then never hear back. And it's like, well, are they doing it or not? The volunteer needs to sign off, either literally or just with the word, yes, I'm going to do this. And you need to be clear about what support you're going to provide the volunteer. What are you going to help that volunteer do as an online community contributor? And a protocol for reporting problems. How many of you have a protocol for reporting problems? Okay, it's a really good idea for your volunteers to know, you know, if I see something wrong on the community, how do I report that? If I suspect something is going wrong, who do I tell? If I get an inappropriate email from another community member, who do I report that to? I mean, that's happened to me. So you need to explore those things. And again, these are all volunteer management you know, sorry, it's late. These are all volunteer management systems. These are all things we do when we manage volunteers. And I think they're really good to do with community management. So why put roles in writing? I just think it really reduces misunderstandings. I just think I fire far less or let go far less community members or volunteers when things are in writing. In fact, I've never fired a volunteer. We've mutually agreed that they're going to quit. I've never had to say, you're gone. And a lot of times I think it's because things are in writing. You know, I can point to, we agreed to this and it hasn't happened. And it makes it easier to recruit volunteers. And I really think in the long run, it creates less work for you. I really think in the long run, if you'll put the time in to put all this in writing, it's less work for you. Online, you might want to create an online community specifically for your leadership volunteers in your community. So you might want a place for your super users, your moderators, your facilitators, your subject matter experts to talk, you know, off the group. One caution about that. We do that with TechSoup and it works great, but sometimes they start a discussion and I'm like, guys, please take this out to the greater community. Please let them all contribute. Anyone else have that experience? Did I see a hand go up? No? Yes, you do? Yeah. So definitely think about creating an online community where people can say, wow, you know, George, I don't know. I don't know about him. But be cautious because some of the best conversations where they have, where are we going with this community? That needs to be out, I think, in the community at large. This I find lacking in a lot of online communities. I find this really lacking, and that is, how does a person express interest in a leadership role in your community? Do any of you have a protocol now for that? Do you have something on your website that says, want to be a moderator? No. Fail. Yes.
I have an example of an anti-pattern. A couple of us here worked in something called the Palace back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And the protocol was, if you expressed an interest, you were prohibited from having a leadership role.
Yeah.
That's an anti-pattern for you. Dreadful. But amazingly self-reinforcing inside the community.
So someone else had to identify a moderator and invite that person to be.
Yeah. Creates cronyism. Really bad.
Interesting. Interesting model. Thanks for sharing.
There's the semi-transparent model, which is what I did with the TechSoup forums, where if I saw, and I kind of do it here actually with this meetup, where if somebody kind of expresses interest and starts participating a lot, then I reach out to them individually and say, hey, and it's semi-transparent because there is a page that says, like, at least on the forums, like, how to be a TechSoup star. At least you start after someone's name, you wonder what it is. So it's like semi-transparent, but you know, in terms of like a documented career path, I have that internally, but I wasn't super transparent about it.
Well, and that's okay because you have it up. I mean, it's up on the forum. It's just evolved.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try to do the same thing. I try to follow your model and look for community members. I go, wow, they posted 20 really great posts in the last 6 months. But I miss some people sometimes. So I think it's a good idea to just communicate how people can be, you know, that they can self-select. Doesn't happen often. People are very humble on our community. I think it's important to track every expression of interest. So if somebody expresses an interest in doing something with your community, you need to track that. Because if 100 people expressed interest and none of them became a volunteer somehow beyond just contributing, why is that? What's the problem? So, and when I mean track, a spreadsheet. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, super complicated. And also have a protocol for what happens when someone expresses interest. What's the protocol? They go, yes, I want to help. And you go, great. I actually have a protocol. And it's that they have to fill out their online profile in a certain way. They have to make an introduction in a certain way. And if they don't do that, they've just screened themselves out. And I don't have to worry because they've actually proven that they wouldn't make the cut.
but is, do you have that out in the open, or that's what you...
It is out in the open. It is on there. And it, on the sheet where it says how to volunteer, it's amazing how many people will express interest, but they haven't read that. So I have to send them back and say, well, as you will see on this page. And how will you make the decision on who gets to be a moderator, who gets to be a subject matter expert? How are you going to make that decision? You need to really think about that. Is it just going to be you? Well, sure. Are you going to let the community vote? I have no idea. It's up to you. But you need to really think about how you're going to make this decision. And believe it or not, in volunteer management, there's a lot of people who haven't thought it this far through. It's not just community managers. You had a question. Yes.
In a situation...
Oh, just...
In a situation where somebody enthusiastically expresses interest in being a manager, and you seem to be a very assistant in the community, and there's not enough this competition.
Yeah, so that's a great comment, that sometimes people express interest in a leadership role like moderating or facilitating, but you've seen how they've behaved and you're like, you haven't really proven to be maybe the nicest person, or you haven't been proven to be housebroken. So is that a comment or is that a question of how to...
It's always been a problem for me.
It's always... Excellent point. So the person may have a kind of a fan club, and because they're outspoken, a lot of people like them. That's the same problem in just general volunteer management. And I'll give you an example. In April, I'm going to speak to the organization that runs all the Mennonite thrift stores in the U.S. because they have volunteers, they have entrenched volunteers who have fans. You know, I've been here 20 years. And they need younger volunteers. And that's going to mean breaking hearts. And that's actually what I'm going to call my presentation, How to Break Hearts in Your Volunteer Management Program. Because the presentation is going to be about how to say no, how to scale back, how to let go somebody who's very popular, and you may actually lose some people. Just like in an online community, you're all nodding your head when that person has to leave and people are like, well, if they're going to go, I'm going to go. It happens. It's a natural evolution of volunteer management. It's a natural evolution of an online community. You have to decide which Band-Aid to rip off, I guess.
Some people use the gardening metaphor.
It's not easy. So I think the qualities of a great intake process for when people want to be volunteers with an online community or with any group is it should take minutes or maybe a couple of hours. It should not take days and weeks. So if somebody expresses interest, it shouldn't be weeks or months later that they find out if they're going to get to be a volunteer. I also think if you say, yes, I want you to be my subject matter expert on this subject and I want you to be the moderator, you need to very quickly get them started. It should take minutes. It should take days, not weeks and months. I think a good intake process screens people out that would be inappropriate. So, for instance, you can say, you know, people who are very diplomatic and make people feel good about their online posts. And sometimes that will make people go, wow, you know, I don't think I want to be a moderator because I don't want to have to give up my free speech. I don't want to have to give up my, you know, outspoken ways. And let's face it, you have to be. If you're going to be a moderator or facilitator, you're going to have to dial it back because you've got to include everyone. I think it screens in volunteers that do have the time. One of my frustrations in promoting virtual volunteering is people go, oh, virtual volunteering is great. It's perfect for people that don't have time to volunteer. And I just know it still takes real time. You just don't have to look for a parking place. So I think a good intake process has some barriers. Don't make it totally easy. Make them jump through some hoops. And I think it sets a tone for your entire process. If you treat it very professionally, if you treat it very soberly and seriously, they're going to go, oh, wow, this is for real. This isn't just, hey, I get to be an online moderator. Ooh, they're going to see, oh, this is for real. And I think that ultimately, I know this seems like bureaucracy, but ultimately, this reduces the amount of time you have to spend holding your volunteer's hand. I really think ultimately it's a time saver. Screening, the processes we use in just general volunteer management are things like completing an application. Well, with, for instance, TechSoup, you have to fill out your online profile. So that's the parallel. Maybe you have to do an interview, and the interview could be via email. I love to do interviews via email. I love when people say, I'm really great at responding to email. They tell me that face-to-face, and then I email them, and they never respond. So I really love online, that type of give and take as a screening process. You may need to do testing. That's pretty rare in volunteer involvement, including online community management. You may need to do reference checks. And again, if it's an online community where you're going to be talking about clients, you're going to be talking about child sexual abuse, yeah, you may need to do a reference check. You may need to even maybe do a police background check. That does happen. You may need to look at a LinkedIn profile. Although, with that said, does anybody think that's inappropriate to look at a LinkedIn profile as a screening for a volunteer or an online community person? How do you feel about that?
I think it's standard.
You think it's standard? Okay, so seems like the general consensus in the room is, hey, LinkedIn and even Facebook if it's public. I'm kind of with you. I mean, to me, if you made your Facebook public, you're publishing. You know, make it private if you didn't want a potential employer or whatever to look at it. But believe it or not, I've done these workshops and I've had some people say, absolutely not, that's off limits, which is weird to me because isn't that what LinkedIn's for?
It seems like it would be context-based. I mean,
context-based.
I can completely see situations where the job I need for a volunteer and how they behave on Facebook, or it may not even reflect anything from LinkedIn, or it may not actually have a good LinkedIn profile, but what I need for a volunteer, it doesn't necessarily reflect.
Exactly. Context. What he said was that maybe what he needs them for wouldn't be reflected in their LinkedIn profile. Maybe what they have on their LinkedIn profile just is not in context with what he's going to perhaps involve them for. And you're exactly right. It's all within context. Again, your mileage may vary. You really have to, is this appropriate? Is this not? Criminal background check, that's pretty rare, I guess, for you all. But it does happen. An online community, if you want to see some of these things in practice that I'm talking about that you might not do, is you heard of perverted justice? They're the group that does, they're the volunteers that do How to Catch a Predator. And I wanted to see how they screen their community members. I wanted to know how you even become involved. And their whole process is they watch how you interact in the community and they identify you. They identify candidates that they think they want to take to a next level. And so it was really fascinating. And in that case, you better believe if you come to the next level, you're going to have to do a criminal background check. You're going to have to, if you want into their community, they've got a pretty high bar. Good group to look into if you want to see just how intense this process can be. And yeah, this gets into different degrees of screening. And I'll use the volunteer management as an example. If I'm doing a beach cleanup, I am not going to do a criminal background check of volunteers. If I have an online community that's going to discuss Harry Potter, I'm probably not going to do a criminal background check of volunteers. If I have volunteers that are going to meet face-to-face with children, yeah, I'm probably going to do a criminal background check of volunteers. If I have an online community like Perverted Justice, which is doing some pretty intense things around talking to predators online and identifying predators, yeah, I'm probably going to do a criminal background check to make sure that they aren't. So it's in context. You're not, screening varies. It really varies. So don't think anything I'm saying is, oh, we have to do this for all of our community members. No, you don't. Because your goals of screening with volunteers just in your community or in any context is you just, You not only want to screen out people who would be criminally dangerous, you want to screen out people who can't do the job, in essence. Training, I don't really want to get into this. Okay? Training. Sometimes you got to train people, sometimes you don't. Tracking and supervision. Now, this is harder. It's easier for a community, for an online community, because how many hours has a person contributed? Well, you know, I could go online, and I actually just did this. I just did a big analysis of the TechSoup community. Who are the super users from the last year? Who are the super users from the last 6 months? How many messages did they post? I have all sorts of candidates now to try to get to be moderators or facilitators. That's the great thing about community, online community facilitation. You have all this data. Most organizations that involve volunteers don't. So how do you know, for instance, I'd like to hear, how do you know your community members that have leadership roles or subject matter experts, how do you know they're happy? You ask them. How do you ask them?
How are you doing?
Just out in the air? How do you ask them?
I'm going to give them a temperature check, right? What I would do is literally check in every day, how you doing, how, what you've been up to, what's your sanity check. Via chat, and also maybe a weekly update, which would like, be different categories. Summary of like the temperature of the community, the temperature engaging their sanity as well. So that's how I do.
Anybody else? Yes.
So I do a kind of combination of a regular, whether it's monthly or bi-monthly, check-in call, telephone call with the group so that they can talk to each other, because I think a lot of volunteer managers overlook the connections that they can make between volunteers, which is pretty valuable. It's not just between you and the volunteer. So I do that kind of open town hall. And then I also try, if I have time, to take all of them out to coffee who are local, or you know, a call or something with everyone. I just kind of once in a while would say, hey, let's just check in. And there's never really an agenda. It's just, and then you have to have a thick skin and say, hey, so what am I doing wrong? And like, you know, being told, hey, you're micromanaging the
back ops.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to just have a thick skin and take it and say thank you for the feedback. But that's how I do it.
Anybody else? Well, that's volunteer management 101, which is taking the temperature of your volunteers, taking the temperature of your community. SurveyMonkey's great, although it can be really hard to get people to respond. I like picking up the old-fashioned phone and just calling somebody and just saying, I just wanted to know how you're doing. And Susan is really good about that. You know, just, hey, I need to call you today. I just want to find out what's going on. It's very personal. It works really well. It's how you know if volunteers are happy, dissatisfied. They may seem great, and on the online calls with other volunteers, say, I'm happy, happy, happy. And you talk to them face-to-face, and they're like, absolutely, actually, I'm miserable. And I've gotten that from some volunteers I thought were really happy, and it turned out, wow, they're really not happy. I think it's really important to report how the volunteers are feeling, how your online community members are feeling, because those are successes that actually donors like to hear about. If you must know, ask community members who have a leadership role to send you a report every month or an email, and then use that. Use that in your reporting. Cut and paste. I feel very strongly of making reporting a part of volunteer, your requirement. It's in your list of things you have to do as a volunteer, which is you have to report. Don't just ask for hours. I'm amazed that tonight I told somebody, she's like, I just don't have time to crunch the data. I just don't have time. And I said, why don't you get a volunteer to do that? There's a lot of volunteers that would love that opportunity. And she went, oh, we've got all these capstone candidates who need a volunteering gig. And I'm like, that's a great gig for a capstone candidate, a university student. They love to do surveys and crunch data. So let volunteers improve your program. If you need a handbook, have the volunteers write it. And again, that's not so you don't have to do it. That's because they may make a better handbook. They can test your online volunteer orientation. They can do role playing. So let's open up to questions and discussion and stuff. She wants to know if you can talk more about volunteer-volunteer connections and activity. That's really hard. I have set up a lot of communities for volunteers where I'm working in an organization and I want volunteers to talk to each other. And it is the hardest thing I've probably ever done. And the reason is, in a lot of cases, the volunteers aren't working together and they just don't feel like they have that much in common. They want the community starts, and then everybody sits around and waits for somebody else to talk. What I found is, you know how we're really into stay on topic, stay on topic, stay on topic? For the first few months, I keep it wide open. If somebody wants to post their wedding pictures, post your wedding pictures, your pictures of your sick dog, because that's what bonded the volunteers. Those off topic, no politics, but just, you know, things you're doing socially, things you're doing that are fun, your pictures from Flickr. For some reason, that kickstarted online communities. I had an online community of UN volunteers. So they're kind of like the Peace Corps. That's the agency I worked for, but it was the United Nations. And we placed 5,000 volunteers a year in developing countries all over the world. And I could not get them to talk. And then somebody posted their wedding pictures. And somebody else posted their pictures. And then suddenly people started saying, well, you know, I'm having this problem with blah, blah, blah. And suddenly the community kicked off. Because they needed a mixer. I couldn't give them beer, so I gave them something social. So that's a good way.
Did you create a separate forum for all public conversations?
Ultimately, I did not, but I've done that before where you split the forum, and you have a forum for off-topic, and you have a forum for on-topic. It can work brilliantly, or it can suck all the life out of your forum. Your mileage may vary. You have to decide what's best. You have to experiment. I've seen it work, seen it fail.
How do you leverage social media like Facebook and Twitter and get people to, you know, obviously you can have enormous, but get them on there, but not, you know, have them stay on Facebook. And, you know, so basically leverage that, especially as an online community, because I also have one myself, and it's kind of tough to compete with Facebook, say, at a music site. And people want to find out about their favorite artists. One of the issues as well, they probably follow on Facebook. So how do you leverage Facebook to share your Facebook feed, but also still retain your users to share on your community as well?
I mean, I would say, I'm going to say that I do that all over the place in many, many communities that I manage. I wouldn't say you have to be either or. Just meet people where they're at. There are different people that go to Facebook and that refuse to sign up for this meetup group, even though I say, if you sign up, you'll get reminded. But, you know, there are people that only want to get their information through Facebook. And there are people that only want to use Twitter but don't want to merge their Facebook with their professional life. And so you just have to have a presence in the places that you think are appropriate, meet people where they're at, and speak the appropriate language in all of those channels. So not just funneling the same message, but actually kind of using the tools in the way that they're supposed to be used.
Okay, other questions? I really loved the legal question. Don't you have more legal questions? I love making legal stuff up.
So I think that with that, you guys should talk amongst yourselves and eat and drink. And thank you so much. And I guess you have about 40 minutes before there's a swift kick in the behind that will kick you out the door. So have fun and thank you so much. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you.
The first Texas volunteer and a superstar. And I guess I'll see you guys next month. Thanks so much.
And you don't have to go home. You just can't stay here.
Thank you so much for listening to this audio from a presentation I did. And if you would like more information about me, you can find that at my website. It's coyotebroad.com. That's coyote, like the animal, broad, as in a broad range of interests, .com. We'll be right back.